Coming up on TMS, the Oscars happen and life goes on anyway.
How cool is Diablo now?
Way cool. Waking up in your own body bag.
Twitter could prevent HIV infections.
Who won and who lost in Hollywood last night?
Bill Murray snuck in a nice tribute to his buddy Harold Ramis last night.
Major spoilers.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi-C.
It tastes so wonderfully.
Wonderfully.
And all that vitamin C.
Shoo-dee-doo-wah.
You're gonna love Hi-C.
There's enough Hi-C for lunchtime and snack time with a Hi-C 9-pack. So pick up Hi-C 9 at a time and wrap up a great value in 6 great tasting Hi-C flavors.
Dum-dee-dee-doo-wah.
You're gonna love Hi-C.
A white homo usually has an American Express card.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Internet, is there nothing you can't do? This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. You heard it right.
A white homo usually has an American Express card.
Yeah, you heard him. That's what the white homo has.
Ugh. He has an American Express card?
This preacher man. The stuff he was saying, I had to capture some of it, like this one.
And they're being scooped up by white homos.
Okay. All right. How about this one?
The white homo is now moving into the black neighborhoods looking for black men that have been converted into homosexuality.
Great. Great. You're awesome.
Hello, we're the converts. I'm new here.
I'm looking for the converts. Oh, gosh. I have no context really to explain that other than some dude has some YouTube channel and he's a complete nod.
I'm not sure if he's... Is it just the white homosexuals he has a problem with?
Yes.
Okay.
He has a problem with the white homos. Well, specifically those with credit cards.
A white homo usually has an American Express card.
That's a sure sign.
That's how you can identify them in the wild.
That's right. And if they've got a Costco membership, they get money back every year for using that Amex there. Whatever, man.
American Express is the gayest credit card company.
That's right, ever, of all time. Hey, last night... Did you see the performance by the fantastic Nadel Nazim? Did you happen to catch that?
Oh, yes. Nadel Nazim. She was fantastic.
She was really good. In fact, here's the introduction.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Nadel Nazim.
She is the one and only.
It's his cadence at the end that wins it for me. He's so here. Wait, it's like, let me skip it ahead.
Please welcome Nadel Nazim.
It's just so.
It is. Well, it's almost like the teleprompter boop goes out, and he has no idea what he's saying without it.
So he just says, "Well, it's kind of like
I'm just gonna make up some words."
Yeah, I'll just make up a name. It's all gonna be fine. It's only millions of people watching me right now.
That's right. Oh my gosh.
Anyway, the Oscars happened.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack Tervakulis.
Mm-hmm. Jack Tervakulis. I loved him in Welcome Back, Churter. It was a great show in the 70s.
Or that great 50s revival movie, Gross.
All right, right. Yeah. And then he kind of had a hard time for a while, fell on hard times.
Mm-hmm. With Olympia Newton-Jonas.
That's pretty good. He did all right. He, in his career, kind of slumped for a while. Saturday Night Fervor was a big deal. But then, you know.
Then he started turning out stuff like Battlefield Orf and...
and then had to wait for Poop Friction. And then things really took off.
That's right. It was his big turnaround. It was working with Clinchin Tarantula.
Perfect. Well, hey, the history of John Travolta's career aside, it's The Morning Stream, and we're back for a Monday, March 3rd, 2014, the day after the aftermath of the 2014 Oscars.
That's right.
Which gives awards for the 2013 films, and I have to make an embarrassing admission. I had to go to a thing after FilmSack, so I kind of kept checking in, and I would hear things there and here and there, and I kind of had Aereo going in the background on my phone, so I could kind of hear stuff. I heard the Nazim thing, which I just couldn't believe I heard, but whatever. And a few other things here and there, and the biggest selfie and all that crap, which I hope I never hear about again because I'm sick of that selfie.
Oh, good Lord, I know. Hey, we broke Twitter. We set a record.
Yeah, we broke Twitter. Like they've never, like no one's ever broken Twitter before. Just calm down, everybody. It breaks all the time. Don't, let's not pretend Twitter's always up. All right.
That's right. And you have to, somebody just said on Twitter that John Travolta, was talking to Sidney Poitier, but as he pronounced it, Shizney Pointy Ears.
Shizney Pointy Ears. Oh, you were so good in sneakers. Sorry, snookers.
But, no, I mean, the whole, what was I going? The Twitter thing.
Yeah.
The cap of it was hearing Meryl Streep afterwards saying, oh, that was my first tweet.
That was my first tweet. Retweet it, she said. Right. I don't know if you heard her saying that, but I was like, hello, what? The devil does wear Prada. What's going on over there? So it happened. It was fine, whatever. I saw a bunch of it, but I didn't see all of it. And the problem was I wasn't able to really keep track of who I had picked to see how I did.
Oh,
I kind of knew some of them, but I kind of forgot in a couple of cases what I did, and I was in no place to sort of check the Google Doc to remind myself what I did. So even to this morning, because I've been so busy, I don't honestly know how I did.
Oh, I'll tell you, out of the Frog Pants hosts group,
yeah,
you came in. I'm still scrolling. Steven Schleicher.
Let me guess, middle of the pack. I always am always in the middle of the pack.
You are in the middle. Yeah, you got 10 out of 24, and you are in eighth place. You're That's tied with Nicole Spagnuolo.
How many total people did it?
Total. We had a great turnout. Holy
no,
cow.
No, I mean just the producer people. How many is that? So I'm eighth out of what?
12, I believe.
12? Oh, that's
12 of us.
That's
There's some controversy.
Is there?
Yeah, I'm curious to see what you think. So we'll talk about who won from the Tadpole group, because there was a clear winner who managed to get 22 out of 24. The only things that he missed were the two shorts, the live action and the animated shorts.
Gotcha.
So he's bad. He's bad picking shorts.
Yeah. No. Sounds like Terpster, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway.
That's
so
right.
Wait, so that's great. That's awesome. Yes. Do we know his name? Are we going to say it?
Should we out him now?
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, let's out him now.
Okay.
Steve Katz. Congratulations to Steve Katz.
You sound like a Hollywood producer.
Steve, he does, right?
Yeah.
yes, he managed to get 22 out of 24 correct. Like I said, the only two that he missed were the two shorts. He had Get a Horse for the animated short film and The Voorman Problem for live action short film. And the winners were Mr. Hublot and Helium. Helium looks really good.
Yeah, it does.
I want to watch all those shorts. I love seeing those clips and saying, oh my God, those look so
those look
good.
Great. I know. They're hard. You know, the problem with those things is their distribution sucks.
It like really
does. You get them in some little art house movie on the East or West Coast, and that's it. They don't go into wide release in theaters. You don't hear about any other way to sort of get them. Nobody's making a Blu-ray with nothing but that short on it.
Right.
Like,
oh,
it's
kind
of janky how you can't get this stuff.
A few years ago when Cashback was one of the live action shorts, you could go to iTunes and download the 5 live action and the 5 animated shorts for free.
What are they doing that this time? They doing that this time?
I don't know. I'm looking. I'm on there right now just to see. That'd be awesome, right?
I would love to see that, yeah. I love those things. Huge fan.
Yeah.
We used to go to the Blue Mouse Theater here in Salt Lake City and see the animation festival every year. And it was the only way you could see this stuff. These weird little shorts. I remember, and this is back when Pixar was just a small, like, couple of dudes. And they made that lamp short. Whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah. The Pixar, the Luxo Jr. thing. Luxo Jr., yeah.
And other stuff. But that was the one that really broke them out. And that the only way you could see that thing was in this weird traveling animation festival that just went around to all these art houses around the country. And I used to love that. Oh, my gosh. I used to just eat that up. We'd sit there for 2 hours and watch all the weirdest short animation things you'd ever see.
The live action shorts are available on iTunes for $7.99 for the whole set. So all 5 of them.
Doesn't seem bad. It seems good.
Not a bad deal, but I'm not seeing the animated ones available in the same deal, which is a bummer, because that's, I think, between the two, that's the one I'd rather see is the animated ones.
Yeah, the other ones are all kind of up their own butts, is my guess. Well, you know how the short films go.
Yeah, but you know, there's a big benefit to those, and I was talking to my buddy Don about that last night, is that the benefit to the live-action shorts is they have just as much drama and just as much power, and but they have to compress everything so there's no fluff around it. Hey, here's the problem. Look at that. That's horrible.
Yeah. Here's your plot point.
Here's
your thing.
The solution.
Yeah.
Done.
And you're out. But a lot of them are just like a dude staring into the sun. Like, it's just these long or short, you know, it's just too artsy-fartsy sometimes for their own good.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're not – if you don't actually have something to say and you got a guy just sitting there staring at a bird – well, what fun are you? You're no good. I don't need you in my life.
Right.
So I did eighth. That sucks. But we had 500 plus people join up for this thing.
Yeah, it was huge. And so now the question is, well, let's talk
what's
a little bit about...
What's the controversy? What's the deal?
The controversy, yes. So the controversy is that we had a latecomer. So in the Tadpole Producers group, I won with 17 out of 24.
Yeah. Oh, you nice job, by the way.
But I don't feel like I should be able to compete, right? It shouldn't be me. Because I'm the one who's hosting it.
Well, and you could compete in that. There's nobody's going to win anything in that group anyway, right? Like it's just bragging rights or something. So I think you should win. Exactly. Okay, I think it's fine.
Well, second place out of the producers group was Randy Jordan, very own Randy Jordan, who didn't get his picks in time. So does that make him? Should he be disqualified for that?
Yes, he should be. Okay, because he missed the deadline. We talked about this last night. You could totally put his picks in, and it's fun to see how he did and compare. But if he took second place and got in after the stated deadline, where in which he had a month to submit,
that's right. Yes.
Then tough poo on a stick, I say. He lost. Okay.
Then Randy's out. He had 16, so just one behind me. Ice Worm and Mr. Scott Fletcher tied for third place with 15 correct.
Nice guys.
Let's see here. I'll just go through the rest because there's only a couple. Scrolling through. Justin with 13 coming in fourth place. Scroll. You and Nicole. Oh, I'm sorry. Steven Schleicher with 11.
Okay.
You and Nicole with 10.
Okay.
I'm sorry. This is such a long spreadsheet and just going.
It's all good.
And we did have quite a few people, by the way, who did pick the song that was eliminated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the song that was...
did they do it as a joke, or did they know?
They must have, because everybody else had the Frozen song. Yeah. Tom Merritt with 8 out of 24. Mm-hmm. Daryl behind him with 7. And I think that's it. That was everybody, yeah.
Who did I pick for Best Supporting Actress? Do you remember? Do you have that there in front of you?
I can pull it up, yeah. Yep, it'll take 5 seconds. I've got it right here. All right, you had 12 Years a Slave for Best Picture. You got a point for that. You picked Bruce Dern for Best Actor, Judy Dench for Best Actress. Supporting, you had Jared Leto.
Okay.
Oh, and you for Best Supporting Actress, I think you misunderstood because you picked Jared Leto for that also. You did know that he was in Drag.
Oh,
right.
I thought that lady. What?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
No, you picked June Squibb.
I really wanted June Squibb to win.
I did too.
I haven't seen the movie. Hilarious. I haven't seen the movie, but she's great. She's always been great. Her whole career's been great.
She, she's in a movie with freaking Will Forte, and she delivers the most comedic and best delivered lines in the whole film. She is incredible.
That clip they showed during her presentation was great.
And that's just the end of that scene. The whole rest of that scene is absolutely hilarious. They're walking through the cemetery, and she's talking about all the people that she knows.
I want her to be my aunt or something. I want to hang out with that woman. Well, that's great. Oh, this just in. Scott Fletcher has now made a statement about his tie for third place. Uh-huh.
Yeah, what does he say?
He's got this to say about it.
Bleep you!
All right.
Oh, wow. See, he's such a sore loser.
He really is. He can't just take it like in stride and do better next time. He's got to pipe up with some smarmy remark like that. All right.
Bleep you!
All right, we got it.
Okay. Jeez, we get it. Criminy.
Why don't we...
Ouch.
Why don't we do what we do here? What else are we doing? Oh, couple of notes of interest. We stuck to the Patreon deal. We're there. Woo-hoo! We're good. So we will have an evening stream PM. TMS PM will happen on this Thursday, 5:30 PM Mountain Time. It's 4:30 PM Pacific, 7:30 PM Eastern, right here, live on the show. Got some nice surprises for you. Got a lot of stuff you'll already feel comfortable with because it's still, once again, folks, it's just another day of the morning stream. And you get your fifth episode. So way to go. You held out. You made it work. We're still over that goal. So according to Patreon.com, where so many have been so generous, we will be doing an evening stream /TMS PM this week. So watch for that. Also, a reminder. Oh, yeah. What?
There is an Adela Dazeem Twitter account now. Thanks to Geek Girl for finding this. And
I think I heard about it literally 45 seconds after he said it. Somebody had set up this account.
I think so because it's her first tweet was 11 hours ago. And thank you, Jorn Tremolto. So surreal. Congrats, Barbie Lerpzep and Krosten Andersab Lerpzep. Barbie, you got an Urgort.
How did the How's the follower on that? Let's see. 13K already.
13,100 followers.
Yeah. Let's see. Thank you, Jorn Tremolto. This is great. She deserves it. Adela Dazeem.
Yes. Tony award-winning star of Wicked.
And she nailed it, that girl.
Woo! She did. Oh, she's great.
Holy crap. She was amazing. You know who she reminds me of?
Who's that?
Her voice sounds like the blonde, the pie maker lady. Kristen Chenoweth. Yeah.
Which is funny because they played opposite each other in Wicked.
Oh, they did. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was Elphaba, the Wicked Witch, and the soon-to-be Wicked Witch, because she wasn't wicked in Wicked.
Plus she's brunette, that's what you do.
Plus she's brunette, and she can wear the green face paint.
Sure.
And Kristen Chenoweth was Glinda the Good Witch.
Mm. And they sound a lot alike. Back when I saw Frozen the first time, I thought, oh, that's got to be Chenoweth doing that.
It's they just both have a really good Broadway-style delivery, you know?
Yeah, it's loud and into your guts. Like, you can just hear it just tearing through your face. That kind of singing is, I think, is hard, and it's a special kind of talent.
Yes.
And she just
got to project.
She made me forget that freaking Vinny over there completely screwed up her name. that was one of the few moments where I could actually watch and listen for a decent amount of time. It was right around that point of the thing. Mm. We'll get to more Oscar coverage later in the show. Yeah. Celebrity poop. We'll talk about who won and who lost and how we felt about it and some of the other weirdness that went on. Before we do any of that, hey, nerdtacular.com, tickets are available. They're going quick. I was informed yesterday that we are over the halfway mark. So that is that's the fastest they've ever sold. That was a week of sales. We've never had that many tickets go that quickly. So that means, even though we started way earlier in the year to get this going, you're going to want to get on the stick quick, folks. And if you're coming to get those tickets for the July 4th weekend here at the beautiful mountain resort of Snowbird in Salt Lake City, Utah, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be warm. Yes. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be incredible. So nerdtacular.com for your tickets. All right.
Yes.
Diablo, got a game to talk about for real quick here. And this is not a gaming podcast. I know that. But a lot of our listeners, you know, they like to play the video games, spend a little time in front of a computer or a console or a handheld or a adult movie store.
Okay.
Diablo. So they Diablo 3's, I enjoyed the hell out of Diablo 3. I played it many, many hours and beat the king of whatever. The king. I beat Diablo
the king of Diablo.
Three times over, and you know, just I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
It had some issues, mostly with, well, I think the auction house was a mistake and all that stuff. And they've admitted as much. But what I didn't know they were going to do is just prior to the release this month, later this month, of Reaper of Souls, which we all played a little bit of at the BlizzCon there, they were going to release ahead of that a patch 2.01 that would be essentially all of the new systems in that new game or that new expansion.
Oh, really? Okay.
But early, so you could play it in the existing game. That means the new loot system. It means the ripping out of the auction houses, the what else? Oh, gosh. A bunch of new spells and stuff that they hadn't put in yet. Or abilities for each of the classes, different runes and things like that. And new interface and the way the whole thing functions and the new clan system and all that stuff's in. Okay. So there's an AIE thing you got to like accept. I bet you have an invite already. Anyway.
Probably.
Point is complete and utter awesome, this patch.
Really?
It has got me completely, totally Jones into play all the time again. And it's just the right balance with the loot, I think, that's doing it. Because you're getting great upgrades way more consistently. It feels like a really, you're now compelled to like, I'm going to go clean out every corner of this place.
Even though the
exit's right over there, I'm going to go back and get this whole thing because I know I'm going to find some chest or I'm going to kill something and they're going to pop out some awesome yellow and I'm going to be thrilled about it, or I'm going to get a great legendary or something like that, because this stuff is coming fast and furious and it feels really, really good. That hook and carrot and that next thing is back like a freaking vengeance.
Oh, see, that's going to get me back into playing Diablo, because I'd moved away from it for Hearthstone, a little bit for a little, you know, getting back into StarCraft a little bit. And, I'll be honest, I have not turned on a Blizzard game in probably a month, and
it's been a while.
That includes raiding.
Yeah, includes the World of the Warcraft, exactly.
The World of the Warcraft. Sorry, FERT, raid team.
I think this is a good excuse for you to pop into this and give it a shot, because
I will.
It's kind of intense. Like, I'm, you know, It hasn't been that long since I was playing not long ago. Like a month or two ago, I was still hopping in here and there and playing it. So it's not like I've been away and forgot how much I liked it. Sure, it's not like that. But you can feel it. You just feel like, ooh, these new systems are good. This right over here feels real good. And suddenly it's 2 a.m. What am I doing? You know, like that.
Awesome.
It's great. Oh,
can't wait.
So go check it out. It's rad.
Cool. I'm playing it right now. Yeah. But can you pause the show for a little
while? Yeah, we're done. See you, everybody. We'll see you on the evening stream on Thursday. Okay, we're going to try to see if my new system of adding Daryl to the call without leaving my desk is going to work. So you ready to see?
I forced you into all that at the end of last week's show.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes.
All right.
I'm not entirely convinced that this is going to work, but we're going
to
try.
So you haven't had a chance to use it with like Current Geek or Final Score or anything like that?
I haven't used it with anybody, but right now with you.
Wow.
I saved it for you, Brian. I saved it for you.
Yowza.
For you! It's time for Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
I'd like to sponsor Stump a Trek Nerd segment. After listening to Wednesday's episode in which some crazy person suggested TMS without Stump a Trek Nerd, I just wanted to show Daryl some love. We love you, Daryl!
Yeah.
Aww.
For the record, it wasn't Daryl the guy I had a problem with.
No,
was that he hates Star Trek.
I don't like Star Trek.
Yeah, but the funny bit about that is I feel
like... I don't like realistic science fiction. Give me science fiction.
I mean, the segment surely has Star Trek in it, but it's not really that much about Star Trek. It's mostly about tangents and weird conversations.
Exactly. It's fun. About women who make the sound of cat noises.
Yes!
For TV shows.
Exactly.
Barbara Babcock.
Actually, you want to hear the sound that still to this minute makes my dog go crazy, and in fact, she'll hear it and bark upstairs right now.
Well, you got to warn listeners on their headphones because you did this during Film Sack twice yesterday.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to turn it down a tad.
There you go.
So warning, this is a horrible cat. All right, here we go. How you like that?
That was the turned down version?
Yeah.
How freaking loud was the nut? Oh my God.
It was pretty loud. Like this. Wait. Should I play it? Oh gosh. Yeah, see, that's full volume.
And now everybody, the incomparable, the one of a kind, Adele Dazeem.
I mean, Daryl Skeels. That's what I meant to say.
That's what I meant, yes.
Daryl, you did pretty poorly in the competition. How do you feel about your performance there?
Well, I hadn't seen any of the movies when I voted, so I guess that's pretty good, actually.
Given that. Well, I'm in the same boat as you. The only one I'd seen was Gravity, and I think I picked it for director, didn't I? Did I pick that for director? Or did I pick Scorsese?
No, you didn't pick Scorsese either. You picked Steve McQueen.
See, I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured that 12 Years a Slave thing was going to do some sweeping, but in some ways it did. I don't know.
It did okay. I mean, American Hustle got nothing, and I thought they would at least get something.
Poor David O. Russell. He got nothing for Hustle.
Gravity got almost everything that they were up for, except for production design and best picture.
Yeah, but they got a lot of nods in the right way. Like, must feel good for Alfonso Cuarón to see old man Scorsese down there nodding in complete like agreement that's awesome. He won.
Yes.
Like as soon as that happened, he was like, "Yeah, that's right." And then I thought, "All right, there you go. All right, all right, all right." All right, so Daryl, we'll quit talking about the Oscars and instead talk about Star Trek. My guy's going to skip ahead 10 minutes. Let's give you your trivia question for the day. And we do have food to test today, folks, so looking forward for that to return here shortly. In the original series episode, The Galileo 7, a shuttlecraft containing several crew members is sent off course and crash lands on a nearby planet. This planet is in the middle of the Mirasky 312, a large quasar-like formation. Am I saying that right?
Mirasaki.
It's not Mirasky playing left forward for the Philadelphia Flyers.
He spelled it right in here, so you got no excuse.
That guy owns hockey these days. A large quasar-like formation on the planet. Dr. McCoy takes some atmospheric readings. Not the planet, Dr. McCoy. On the planet, Dr. McCoy takes some atmospheric readings. Although having a planet called Dr. McCoy would be pretty badass. He lists various gases in the atmosphere. Which gas is not on his list of readings?
So he's can tell you what they were. They were argon, neon, krypton.
Oh, wow. So they're one of these. Wow. The one I haven't read then is probably not going to be on here. Well, let's find out.
Of course, I could be totally screwy and completely wrong.
We actually only have three choices in the multiple choice this time, and it's Argon, Neon, Krypton.
Yeah,
darn.
I wonder which one is. I guess we'll just move on. So the answers are Neon, Argon, Krypton, and Xenon. Which one of those sounds like Daryl may not have mentioned it?
Make your pick.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit weird. All right, well, while we think about that, let's do this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
I'm going to eat gum while you guys drink some weird coffee milk thing that I didn't get yet. I'm sure something's on its way, but...
This comes to us courtesy of Angelo, who goes by Scrabbles in the Tadpool. This is a... This is the Rhode Island official state drink, as it says right there on the label. Official state drink of Rhode Island.
Wow.
It is Autocrat coffee syrup. And I know what you're saying, people. Brian, didn't you nearly puke the last time you drank something that looked like coffee syrup on TMS?
That was a little thick, thick and liquid last time.
It was thick and liquid. It was coffee thick and liquid. And the deal with this stuff is you add 2 tablespoons of this with 8 ounces of milk. It also works apparently really well with ice cream, and I can vouch for that.
Okay. You've already had it for that?
I did kind of sample it with some ice cream because it was handy.
All right. I see. Just throwing rules at the wind. Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, thanks, Shane.
But I have not tried it as the actual state drink of Rhode Island, which is coffee milk. So.
Okay. All right. So you got it in that state. Daryl, you have the same, right?
Yes, I did exactly the same thing. Followed the instructions exactly.
I'm going to try a peanut-free Thrills gum. Or on the back, as it says, peanut-free / sans arachides. I don't know what language that is. Is that Spanish? I don't know. French?
Doesn't say.
It's Canadian, so maybe it's
Canadian,
French.
Yeah.
So it's gum, and it says at the bottom here, it still tastes like soap. So I'm nervous. You had this before.
No, we both got, Daryl and I both got envelopes that had a escape hatch where the gum traveled, made its way out into the United States postal system.
Because what happened here, the reason I'm getting it so late, we literally got it Saturday, is because it went to my old address and got forwarded. So it didn't fall out, though. It's totally in here. So I'm having to take the bullet on the flour. Doesn't smell like anything before I eat it, by the way. Nothing. So I'm going to try that out. So you guys sip your goo first. Let's see how that is.
Okay.
Okay.
Sip your goo.
It doesn't smell like anything.
Sipping your goo.
Oh, it's very sweet.
It is. It tastes more like a mocha, like a cold mocha.
Yeah, which I like. So,
Drinking. By the way, Daryl, I'm drinking it out of a Star Trek glass.
Oh, no way.
It's got Leonard Nimoy and Zachary Quinto, and it's from Burger King or something.
What are they doing in it? Is it from the first movie, the 09
movie? Yeah, it's from the first movie, yeah.
Does it seem like forever ago now, 09?
It does. Totally does.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Because you know how...
This is spectacular where I just showed up, I ate cake, and I left.
Yep, and this is how... and this is how you know how long ago that was. George Kirk, who appeared in the first part of the film and died, while pregnant Lady Kirk had Captain Kirk inside her belly. Pregnant Lady Kirk. You like that?
Pregnant Lady Kirk.
George Kirk crashes the ship into the hull of the whatever ship, and it's freaking Thor.
Right.
What's his name? Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Hemsworth.
But nobody knew who he was then. Nobody had idea who that guy was. And now he's the suave dude on stage last night looking all good. He's a sexy man, that guy.
He is a sexy man.
He's
hot.
All right. I'm going to eat the gum now. Here we go. Oh, yeah. I can't do that.
Didn't even last very long.
Oh, my gosh. It's like I just sprayed my grandmother's perfume in my mouth. That's how bad that is. Is it rose petals? Ingredients.
This gum tastes so bad it makes me gag. All I ask is just for a little soap gum.
It's really bad. Give this to your kids when they've sworn.
12 years a slave.
Oh, that's pretty good. Right there. That's pretty good.
Yeah, sure. It's my Lupita Nyong'o impersonation.
You know, honestly, she seems like the sweetest girl ever.
She is. Isn't she just adorable,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, she really is. She seemed like the most, like, honest, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It seemed like the least uppity. Yes. You know why? Because she's new to Hollywood and she still
hasn't been tainted by the Hollywood. Exactly.
Because she was really sweet and kind and nice. And Kate Blanchett was awesome, too, but in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
She's just tough as shit. She's not going to take any crap. Kick your butt, Daryl.
And that Australian accent?
Mm-hmm.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right? Wait, she's not Australian, is she?
Isn't she Australian?
I thought she was British. Gee.
She was Australian, Kate, I thought.
Blanchett from what country? Let's find out now.
I see.
Oh, you said Australian. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, why did I not know that?
I don't know.
Those guys.
She's from the penal colony.
Yeah, she's from the prison. Prison colony. The prison Queen's
planet.
The Queen's prison.
That's right.
She in the Benjamin Button thing. I never saw that.
She. Yeah, she was. She was his romantic Button? Interest.
Right. The one that she got older and he got younger. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I still should see that at some point.
It's all right.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like David Fincher a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Did okay on Rotten Tomatoes, liked it. I don't know. Daryl, let's get back to your point here, your thing. I'm never eating those again. Those are the worst things I've ever done. I'm only going to use this now to torment my kids. That's what this gum is for now. Put that in the torment pile. Let's get to your question again. It sounds like you've already got it. Oh, no, you need birthdays. What's birthdays? Who's having one?
Oh, well, that would be James Doohan, who would have been 94 today.
Mm. Wow. He died 80, what? 80?
At age 85.
85, okay.
Yeah.
That was 9 years ago? Jeez. And his ashes are in space?
Some of them are, yeah.
Where'd the rest of them go?
Well, I don't know
raining
why they...
down over... part of New Zealand.
Well,
sprinkling on.
I think his son probably has most of them, and then they sent up a small batch, which are going to burn up in the atmosphere in a few years.
I think Shatner should sprinkle it over his coffee every morning. Just a little bit, a little pinch.
Hey.
There you go. First time ever that was like the exact clip staring me right in the face right when I looked at the soundboard. It was right there.
Searching for it.
Yep. Right next to
your butt.
So,
great.
All right, Daryl, back to your question. Neon, argon, krypton, or xenon? I used to go to a dance place called Xenon. They had ladies' night on Thursdays.
That's funny. There was an arcade here called Xenon.
Oh, really? I bet you didn't pee on somebody in the bathroom and had to run for your life after. I bet that didn't happen.
I really did not, no.
It did at the dance place I went to. I told that story? Let me tell that story briefly.
Yeah.
Have I told it? I don't know if I have.
No, you have not told that story.
All right, I was in there with my friend Dan. was it Dan? Maybe Mark. Now, Mark will email me if I'm wrong. I think it was one of you two, though, for sure. Probably Dan. I don't remember. But we were in Xenon. We used to go there on Thursdays because girls got in free, and that just meant more girls, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a non-drinking club, but you had to be 18 to get in, and we were getting in at 16 and 17, no problem, because we were big, tall guys. So we're in there, and I'm probably 17, 18 maybe, and we're in this place, and we're in the men's room. That's what you did. You went straight to the men's room, got out your comb, and combed your hair. That's what you did, okay? Because you were stupid, and it was the late 80s, and that's just what you did.
Sounds like the 50s.
Yeah, it kind of does. And that really does, actually. A bunch of greasers in there.
Totally
so
does,
we're in
yeah.
there fixing our mullets and our, you know, our freaking feathered hair, in Dan's case. And we go up and you go to the urinal to pee, and then you're going to go dance all night. So you're up at the urinal, and it's me on the far right. It's Dan in the middle, and it's a dude decked out in leather and looking all tough with tattoos just to the left of him. So it's a... it's a tough guy, Scott Sandwich, here that Dan's in. He's in the middle.
Okay.
And he's taking a leak, and I think it'd be funny if I bump his elbow. We used to do this to each other in school. I'd bump his elbow, and he would just kind of wiggle a little bit and, you know, or, you know, lose his grip or whatever. It was just meant as a little joke to have him get off his game. And so I bump his elbow, and it jerks him so hard that he ends up turning a little bit and losing control and pees all over this guy in the leather. Just goes all up and down this guy's side.
Yeah.
And the guy just kind of looks at him real slow like this. I mean, you could just see him simmering. And my recollection is we bolted.
Sure.
This happened a couple times where we had to bolt for other reasons, but I remember this one. I think this is the one where we ran out of there at top speed while this guy chased us and said the most horrible things I've ever heard anyone say out loud. And got in the car, sped out of there. They got in their car, tried to chase us. We lost them, ended up going back later. They weren't there. It was quite the adventure. But yeah, urinated all over this kid. It was great. It was like my own little mini John Hughes movie, like 10 minutes of John Hughes movies. Anyway,
write that down. It's best picture material. It's
pretty good, right?
Right.
So, all right, Daryl. Neon, Argon, Krypton, Xenon.
Beep, boop, well, let's see. Which one of these doesn't belong? I think we probably know. I think it's going to be Xenon.
You think Xenon's the one that's not
you
it?
Think?
Okay.
Is that what you're leaning towards? Shot in the dark?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's find out.
Let's
see if he's right. Oh.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Like I was going to fool you. The answer is Xenon. He does not list it. He lists Argon, Neon, and Krypton, and they're all in acceptable amounts, making the air breathable. McCoy says the conditions are not great. But they're okay. Here's a clip of that all going down on the Trek.
Dr. McCoy, a reading on the atmosphere, please. Partial pressure of oxygen, 70 millimeters of mercury.
Mercury.
Nitrogen, 140. Breathable if you're not running in competition.
Just the facts, Doctor.
Oh. Traces of argon, neon, krypton. All in acceptable quantities. However, I wouldn't recommend this place as a summer resort.
Thank you for your opinion. It will be duly noted.
Yeah, I don't think they overdubbed McCoy at all in that. Jeez. You sound like he's in a different place.
He does, totally.
I hate that. And Spock, they're just like in a room mic somewhere.
I like his little dragnet thing. Just the facts, Dr. McCoy.
Yeah, he's not messing around, dude. There you go. Daryl, good job. You've started the week out on a proper note, on a good footing, as the kids say. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. He's also This Week in Trek Zone, Daryl Skeels. So you should probably go listen to that show if you like Star Trek. Not that guy who's already skipped this and doesn't hear me talking about him. Daryl, why don't we play a little game called something? What is it? What's the game today?
Oh, let's see. I'm unprepared as I am every Monday, so I'll just pick something. That's right. A Star Trek nut or actual nut.
Okay, let me play I got a theme for us. Here we go.
Tonight we shall reach the land of the doo-doo.
All right. Land of the doo-doo. Star Ooh. Trek thing or what?
Star Trek nut or actual nut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Levithy nut? I think that's how you say it.
Levithy nut.
Levithy nut. That sounds to me like a Star Trek nut. What do you think, Scott?
I'm gonna tie my saddle to your post and say it's a Star Trek nut.
Of course it is.
Is it? Of course it is.
It is.
What else would it be?
Right.
Now let's see if this works now that I can do this. Okay. Did I kill him? No, he's still there. There we go. I killed him. This is going to take some getting used to. I got to get used to the thing here. All right. Hey, what? Who? What's going on now? I can't find it.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by Current Geek.
Current Geek.
At currentgeek.com. Catch John Strickland and Bill Meeks on the latest episode.
We're having Patrick back soon.
Two-thirds of the Blue Man group right there.
That's right. Who would be the third Blue Man there?
I think it would be me.
It could be you? All right.
No, I don't know. I saw both of those guys in Atlanta at Dragon Con.
Yeah, they're both Atlanteans.
Yes.
And they're good guys, and they were fantastic on the show.
Oh, good.
Really good job.
We're going to listen to it on the plane today.
We're going
to
have Patrick back. Oh, you're flying today. I forgot.
I'm flying today, yes.
What time do you leave?
I leave at 4:30 or something like that. I get into Florida at 10.
You worried at all about all this flight delay crap with the snowstorms back east? It's been pretty bad.
Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on it. Fortunately, it's all in the northeast, but I'm still, you know, that still can have an effect on travel in other parts of the country. So
I think it made, I can't remember what they said for sure, but I think my brother-in-law and sister-in-law who went to, just got back from a cruise. We watched their kids all week. Mm-hmm. I think they were saying the reason they got in so late is the same. They were being affected, and they were just coming from like Mexico. Like,
oh wow!
Even just that little jaunt was screwed up by Eastern flights.
Yeah, I'll be
messing
keeping an eye on things for sure.
Well, best of luck with that.
Thank you, sir.
And give our best to the wiener of America. Walter Williams wakes up in a body bag at a morgue.
Oh.
Oh. This isn't good.
Horrible place, Walter Williams.
It really is. It sounds like
that's who that book came from that I found in the bathroom sitting on the toilet.
Walter Williams.
Walter Williams.
That's the guy. Workers at a Mississippi funeral home say they found a man alive and kicking when they opened a body bag. Holmes County Coroner Dexter Howard calls it a miracle that 78-year-old Walter Williams is still alive. The coroner was called to Williams' home in Lexington, a community north of Jackson. I've been there. Spent a lot of time there. Mm-hmm. When family members believed he had died, Howard says Williams had no pulse and was pronounced dead Wednesday at 9 p.m. Early Thursday, Workers at Porter and Sons Funeral Home were preparing to embalm Williams when he started to kick in the body bag. Doesn't a doctor need to confirm this?
I would think so, but oh my God.
Just imagine, dude.
The poor employees of Porter and Sons Funeral Home having to change their pants right away.
Yep. Porter's and Sons and cleanup crew now.
Right.
Early Thursday. Let's see. Oh, no, I already mentioned that. Family members are called to Williams, or called, and Williams was taken to a hospital. Howard says he believes Williams' pacemaker stopped working and then started again. Yeah, but how long did it stop? See, I always wonder about these stories. It's like, is that even possible? Can you go that long without oxygen and breathing and all that?
But I mean, yeah, do they not do any sort of other test? Like, okay, I don't hear a heartbeat. Boom, Dad, let's go.
Yeah.
Move on.
Like, is that enough? That can't be enough. Yeah. And maybe Mississippi still does it the old way or something, where they just look at you and go, yep, he's dead. I don't know. I can't figure this one out. I kind of, when I read these, I don't buy them. I'm skeptical. So if someone has any kind of medical background, like if you're a dude, what works in, you know, like triage or like a freaking mortuary or anything where you deal with bodies, cadavers, autopsies, any of that.
Right.
Tell us, write in and tell us what the deal is. How do you do it?
what steps? Where's the checklist?
Yeah.
What's on it?
I would love to know.
Yeah.
Twitter in the news. Like last,
oh, really?
Last night.
Oh.
Yeah.
We broke Twitter.
Hollywood acting like they invented Twitter.
Totally.
It's the world's biggest selfie. we broke Twitter. It's a record. Or no, what'd she say?
Yeah, that's
we
what
broke
she said.
Twitter. It's a record. And I think what she may have meant. A lot of people
Twitter
were saying this
sent
last
us
night.
An email saying we broke them.
Yeah. That's never happened before. Yeah, it has. It's happened lots of times. It breaks all the time. The fail whale is an old joke.
And it's really just pictures of people in Hollywood that you can find on Google Images pretty darn easily and make your own montage.
Yeah. I mean, you got with inserted in there. By the way, who did you end up on top of? Whose face did you take?
Right in front of Ken Spacer.
Oh, I like Ken Spacer
poor,
and his show.
Ken Spacer.
Hoops of Cards.
Full House of Cards.
Yeah, yeah. Full House of Cards. He's great. I freaking love him. But I think your face over there is better than him right now. So according to this, Twitter data could actually prevent HIV. Okay, now how crazy does that whole statement sound?
Okay, let's hear it.
Twitter and other social media, which provide real-time data, could be used to identify and target potential outbreaks of HIV, according to a new study from UCLA. That's the University of California in Los Angeles, right?
Mm-hmm, yes. Okay.
Researchers gathered 550 million tweets over a 6.5-month period and used an algorithm to identify tweets about potentially risky sexual behaviors or drug use, two behaviors linked with the transmission of infectious diseases. The location of the tweets were then plotted on a map and compared to geographic data of HIV cases, actual ones that have been confirmed.
So basically they're looking out for anyone who hashtags just had sex with a hypodermic needle.
Yes. Yes. diseased goat, whatever.
Flag him.
They found a significant relationship between the locations of those tweets and the countries with high numbers of HIV cases. That is pretty fascinating. Says this, the first study suggests Twitter can be used to predict people's health-related behaviors as well as a method of monitoring HIV risk behaviors and drug use, says researcher Sean Young, not the lady that went crazy and married, what's his name?
Catwoman. Wanted to be Catwoman
wanted
so bad.
Wanted to be Catwoman so bad. Didn't she like stalk Kevin Costner for? Wasn't that the deal? She was on that show, or she was on that
not
movie?
Kevin Costner. It was.
James
Woods.
Woods.
James Woods.
You're
yeah.
right. You're right. I had it in my head that Costner and her had a. I know they had that scene that was so controversial in the
limo. No Way Out in the backseat of the limo. Yeah,
I like No Way Out.
Wasn't that the
one where the VP was Gene Hackman and he was killing people or something?
I think so. Well, spoiler. Oh, there you go.
Sorry.
No, you know, in her day, Sean Young was. Was such a hottie.
Dude, lovely. And, Blade Runner. And
Blade Runner and, yeah, No Way Out.
Is it Sean Young with a S-E-A-N? Is that how you spell her name? Yeah.
She got the the chest treatment, the wooden chest treatment, I should say, in Stripes with Harold Ramis.
Oh, that's right.
She got busy in the wooden chest.
Yeah. By the way, when you search for her, according to Google, people are also searching for Rutger Hauer, Daryl Hannah, Harrison Ford, Joanna Cassidy and Edward James Olmos, essentially the cast of Blade Runner.
For the most part, yeah.
If that's your interest, if you're interested
in
her.
You know she won't live. But then again, who does?
Was she in Stripes? She was. She was one of the girls in Stripes.
Yeah, she was. She hooked up with what's his face? Harold Ramis.
Yeah, you're right about that. I was.
She did not
get
the Aunt Jemima treatment.
No, no. I'm a little sad this new Costner movie's not doing very well. I like him, but you knew that. You knew I was a fan and probably shouldn't
I knew
be.
You were a fan. I know. Yeah, I know you like the guy.
I like the body. You know. I even like the Bodyguard. I'll watch that again. No problem.
Sure. I'll watch Bodyguard.
He's great in that.
Bull Durham.
Yeah.
Tin Cup.
Waterworld. Come on.
The guy puts out great movies.
You ever seen Paper? Oh, Waterworld. I got to watch it again.
Oh, I thought you already did. I thought we talked about this on, on FilmSack that you already watched.
I've been so slacking on that.
Oh.
Paper. Have you ever seen Paper? Look at
the paper.
Oh, Paper.
Paper. That guy's my favorite. So anyway, this is really interesting. I got hung up on the Sean Young thing anyway, but it's an assistant professor of family medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine. David Geffen,
what?
Cool.
David Geffen from DreamWorks?
Yeah, they must have had a memorial, or not memorial, what do you call it, a tribute, whatever it is. Somebody's a big deal that went to your school, so now you name something after
them. Alumni, yeah, right, yes.
That. You don't have to die to get that. Anyway, I think that's fascinating. I think the idea of taking Twitter and what people are saying and figuring out ways to disseminate that data into meaningful stuff is fascinating to me. Obviously, it's not a perfect science, but that's very, very interesting. I love data and I love statistical sort of analysis. And I know a lot of people can twist things to their own end, but just at the core of that science, I find that stuff great. I really like it. Always fascinates me. HelloFresh.com is sponsoring the show. I'm just going to keep the...
Spensoring for hire.
Well, you know, Travolta's really started
the
trend.
In honor of Travolta, is that what we're
doing? Yeah, yeah. Adele Nazeem.
Please welcome the...
I'm going to do it again. Let's see.
In just a moment, we shall return to our story of Tarzan.
Tarzan.
Yeah, Tarzan. Hello. That's how you say it.
I love you.
So, HelloFresh... HelloFresh.com. This week is a good week. They've got some pretty amazing stuff up there. Go check them out. Check out these recipes from real chefs and go, oh, yeah, I'd like that to come to my house. I'd like it to come in freezer boxes and have it be totally fresh and sort of off the farm and ready to go. And I want to be able to make it real quick. How long do you say? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you get 30 minutes to yourself. You can make a quick meal. Why don't you do that? I mean, it's just as long as it take you to make, you know, some Eggos and a couple of pancakes. That's a weird thing to eat, but whatever. You can do it in 30 minutes or less. Yeah. They're all over the world, and they are expanding all the time. If they're in your area, you can save some money. 50% off your first order. Just use the code MORNINGSTREAM50 at checkout. Save you some money. That's at HelloFresh.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
What seemed like a normal bout with sinus and allergy issues turned into a rush to the ER, and then 3 days later, brain surgery. My friend Scott was diagnosed with an aggressive brain cancer, which was then accompanied by a stroke after surgery. Did I mention he's 34 years old? Not a typo, 34. His wife and four kids are now doing their best to deal with everything, and his friends want to help him get through the large medical bills continuing to stack up. If you would like to help, please go to tiny.cc/help Hooper to read about it and to donate. We just want to help make it just a little bit easier for the young family. If you could spare even 50 cents, it would be appreciated. Thank you all from the bottom of our hearts. That's tiny.cc/help Hooper.
I hate that story. I just hate that people deal. Ugh, I just know how you deal with it. I am a giant puss, is what it means. The Oscars, they happened. We talked some about it. Mm-hmm. A few more things went down. I wrote in this headline, they happened and stuff went down, and we will now talk about it.
you put the space in the wrong place.
I did. Cate Blanchett, who had full knowledge of the Rings of Power and knew who went to them. One of them went to the leaders of men, the kings of men. The others went to the dwarf lords in the mountain cities there.
Yeah.
And who else got one? The elves got one.
The elves got one, sure.
Or they got a few, I think. Didn't they have a few? Like, I think a few elves had the rings.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
But she passed the test, and she can now diminish and remain Galadriel. She won. She won with that Woody Allen business. And
Blue Jasmine. Great movie, by the way.
Heard people
Sally
roaring.
Sally Hawkins was really good, too. Yeah. But she was up against so much competition for supporting actress.
It was a real hardcore deal this year. I thought.
Yeah.
The women's categories were just hard fought and well, I mean, everybody was good. Like, I haven't seen them all, but I know it's just, you can tell this stuff's just nailing it. She mentioned Woody Allen and gave him kind of a thank you thing, but man, you could feel it in the room, couldn't you? When people bring up Woody Allen's name right now, it's like,
yeah, totally. Still, after I mean, some, a good amount of time has passed since that whole.
Well, this came up again because the daughter just came out two weeks ago and said, yeah, he totally molested me and he's a loser and everybody should quit giving him all these accolades.
They forget. Yes.
Kate won. So then you got your Matthew McConaughey. Who did an all right up there?
He did. You know, he did that. He's embracing it. Basically, I think he shied away from doing that in public appearances and award speeches and stuff like that. Now I think it's like, you know, it's going to be my thing. All right.
That's what I do. I mean, he owns it. It's his. Can we find out when he said that? When did he original? What's the movie? It isn't Dazed and Confused, is it?
I thought it was.
Matthew McConaughey. All right. I'm going to find it. The original one. Hold on. We're going to find it. Oh, it is. It is from that movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey has a dazed and confused flash.
I don't want to listen to this lady.
On a beer. He was there and while his company.
B-I-N. Matthew McConaughey. Oh, my gosh. This is the worst. This is supposed to be the clip, you jerks. Okay, here it is. We'll play it here.
Okay.
Nope.
That sounds like 70s porn.
Here's another one. Here you go.
All right. Oh, Christ. How you doing? That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Just laugh afterwards, too.
Makes me want to go watch that movie again. I didn't realize that. I mean, look how big that movie is now. If you think about it, how notable he is for that.
Right.
That's great.
Right. And how many careers it launched, too.
I've always liked him, so right on. Rock on.
Exactly. And he delivered a great speech.
Yep.
You know, talking about the people, you know, the person he admires, the person that he chases, and the thing he looks forward to every day. And it was a really cool speech.
It wasn't bad. I don't like the part when those guys get up. I took some heat for this because I commented on Twitter, but whatever. I don't like it when these guys get up and give God full credit for where they're at, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
It must not be the same God as all those guys are working in diners trying to become actors and just can't freaking catch a break. Right. Different God.
Yeah. It's not the same God that helps that reality show contestant win.
No.
Oh, I thank God for this win.
That's why I can't stand that. I don't have problem. Everybody should have their beliefs, whatever. It's great. But yes, like a sports guy. I'm John Travolta today. Sports guy gets up and goes, first thing I want to do is thank Jesus for putting me here. I'm like, well, then why didn't he put anybody else there? How come just you, buddy? And we picked you out of the crowd. What happened there? How come you got the special treatment?
Of course, you know, God might have had something to do with John Travolta's mispronunciation because it's not Xenu, right? Yeah. Xenu would have helped him out.
Yeah, it would have. And if he'd said that thing he said three times, it would have killed us all.
Right, he would have appeared right behind him with a meat hook.
Yeah. I also made what I thought was an original joke yesterday that was completely not, but I didn't know it till I said it. And I said, man, Justin Bieber is really doing a great job hosting this year. Okay, it was a stupid joke, right?
Okay.
And I thought it was pretty funny. And then a million people were like, oh, dude, why don't you give insert name credit for that joke? And I'm like, oh, no, am I late to the game here? I went and did a search for it, and there were thousands of people making that joke.
Oh,
so.
Geez.
Sorry to Ellen that you look so much like Justin Bieber, or the other way around. I don't know which. What else? Okay, you got your slave girl movie lady. What's her name?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Lupita what?
Lupita Nyong'o.
She was awesome.
She was awesome, yeah.
I loved her speech. Thought she was great. Spike Jones for original screenplay. That's good. You want that. I liked him. I liked him when he was on Jackass, when he helped found that show.
The screenplays, you had 12 Years a Slave for the adapted, and Spike Jones winning for the best original screenplay, which was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. I think that's the one I'm talking about, right? That is the Spike Jones one. That's the only one he won, right?
That's the only thing he won, yep.
That's too bad. A lot of people want to see her do better.
Yeah.
Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity for that deal. Mm-hmm. And then Frozen killed it in every category it was in. Which is appropriate because it was really good. You saw Frozen, yeah?
I have not seen Frozen.
I think you should see Frozen.
I will. As soon as it comes out on Blu-ray, we're seeing it. It's on our list. We wanted to hit the 9 Academy Award nominees for Best Picture, and we got the 9th one on Friday. We went and saw Philomena.
Mm.
And the woman that sat behind us in the theater decided to bring a picnic.
Oh my gosh, again with the people in the theater.
It every time. There's a woman sitting behind us who's like opening Tupperware behind us. She ate through the entire film.
Good Lord.
We should have known. I mean, you know, we sat down and she's completely dressed in sweats, in gray sweatpants and sweatshirt. And
hot.
And as soon as we heard the bag rustle, we should have just got up and moved. But you know what? It makes for a great show. And then some guy halfway through the movie goes from the back top, you know, down the stairs. So he's in the very back of the theater, going down the stairs and then around in front of everybody. And then out the door to go to the bathroom. But he's wearing like one of those windbreakers that is made of some material that if you rub it fast, really fast together, it'll catch on fire.
It makes almost little sparks.
Like corduroy.
Yeah.
Yes. So the entire time.
It's like your Burger King or your gym.
It totally is, yeah.
That's
every
great.
Time. 12
great.
Years a Slave, Tina and I were talking about. 12 Years a Slave was the only movie we've seen in the last 6 months where something weird hasn't happened in the theater.
Well, it's a serious subject matter.
It is, yes.
Got to get in there.
Nobody wants to mess around during 12 Years a Slave.
I would like to have seen John Travolta try to spell or try to pronounce Chewie at Etchedafor's name. Or how do you say it?
Peter Nyong'o.
Yeah, either one of them.
McGillicuddy.
McGillicuddy is exactly right. Long line of McGillicuddy's in Hollywood.
Yes.
Bill Murray gave an impromptu shout-out to Harold Ramis while presenting an Oscar for cinematography. And he had, what's her name on his arm? Who was that? Amy Adams.
Yeah. Right.
With co-presenter Amy Adams, Murray had a last-minute add to the list of nominees for Best Cinematography to go with the visionaries behind Gravity, The Grandmaster, Inside Llewyn Davis, Nebraska, and Prisoners. I'm surprised Llewyn Davis didn't get... That thing got raved about whenever anyone talked about it, and then it just got kind of snubbed this year.
It totally did.
I don't get that.
Hardly any nominations, and
I love the Coen brothers. They don't make no shit.
It was just it was a tough year to come out to that, you know, tough year to have a decent movie because there were so many great movies.
I think they probably figured those guys have had their time multiple times and they can't win every year, so sit back and relax. Let's see. Murray said, "Oh, we forgot one," Murray interjected. Harold Ramis for Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, and Groundhog Day. A shout out to the late actor and filmmaker who died just last week at 69 was warmly received, and the moment obviously got to Murray just a little bit. You could see him getting a little choked up there.
Yeah. We were wondering, my buddy Don and I, he was over for an Oscar party. That's why I keep bringing him up. But we were talking about when the cutoff is. Obviously, you know, from Oscar ceremony to Oscar ceremony, anyone who passes away should be in the death montage, but at some point they have to cut it off because they have to time the music. They have to do the special effects and the graphics and stuff to insert them in and get the video in there and stuff. And so I was like, well, when do you think the cutoff is? Do you think that Harold Ramis and Philip Seymour Hoffman made it in that cutoff? And I'm guessing just with the Final Cut Pro stuff that they were doing with the watercolors last night, they could probably drop them in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Probably just, they probably have some templates. They just stick them in.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. I wish they would do that stuff chronologically. I think they, because what they do is they are trying to jerk you around when they put certain ones at certain places. When they finish with Hoffman, that's their way of trying to finish with the big, saddest thing.
Yeah. We predicted, we thought Shirley Temple would have been the final.
I did too. I think she got a little short shrift there. If that's how you're doing it, because that again, it's just kind of manipulative a little bit. I think you should do it chronologically, and just do it in the order they died. Big deal. Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
Right, because then they can start it right now.
Yeah.
Right. They can start next year.
Right. Right. Start putting inserting the guy in now.
Sitting there watching TMZ, just getting ready. Okay. There we go. Put him in. All right.
Just watching TMZ. F5. See if somebody else has died. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Tweaked Audio sponsoring the show. You know the drill. Go to tweakedaudio.com. It's really easy. Tweakedaudio.com. Save some money. 33% off with the code STREAM on some brand new earbuds. We love Tweaked Audio. So will you. That's tweakedaudio.com and the code STREAM. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Stephen Schleicher will be here to talk about the latest and greatest in pop culture, comics, and movies. And we have some emails today. So we'll get to all that in a minute. Before all that, a song, please.
All right. How about a song that... remind me which order we're doing these, by the way.
I think
we're
DQ doing the, first.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, good. Which is perfect, because that one does go with the email we received. Gus, who's rarely in the tadpool, emailed in. Dear Skip and Bubba, birthday. First week in March. Song, you pick. Something that really transforms the original. Please, for the love of Pete, no ska. Gus.
Skagus is a pretty fun word to put together. Yeah.
Rarely in the tadpool, get this daily 9-to-5 commitment I can't seem to get out of.
He's also so short. He's just got to get to the business at hand. Let's exactly. Just get a song and get
just
out.
Get to it. All right. Well, happy birthday, Gus. And this, I don't know what day it's happening, but hopefully right around now. Something that really transforms the original. So I decided to dip into the, I've got a folder of heavier covers, right? It's like the stuff that is a little bit darker, a little bit, rougher around the edges. Mm. And it came up with this great cover by Glow, the band Glow, from a 2002 tribute to ABBA. This is their version of Dancing Queen.
Ooh, that sounds good. It's Dancing Queen. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Lights are low, looking out for a place to go. Oh, well, they play the music, getting in the swing. You come to look for a key. Anybody could be that girl. Night is young and the music's high. With a bit of rock music, everything is fine. You're in the mood for a dance. You turn it on. Oh, leave them burning and then you're gone. Looking out for another, anyone will do. You're in the mood for a dance. And when you get the chance, you are the dancing queen.
Pulsar, the ultimate man of adventure. Imagine you power him up for dangerous missions on the Pulsar Life System Center. Batteries not included. You can power his heart and lungs.
X-ray test, no damage.
Then dial the controls for the next test.
Brain check, all clear.
You can energize Pulsar faster and faster.
Can he take it? All systems go!
Pulsar Life System Center. Pulsar, the ultimate man of adventure. Sold separately. You from Mattel.
What do you think, meat and potato man?
This is the morning stream. No touching of butts allowed. No butt touching.
Hello, and we're back. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who is this?
Who is this?
Who is this?
Okay, I almost went over there to do it, but I don't want to do
hello,
that.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Come on, you've got the clip.
Hello. Hello.
Do I have that? Oh, I do have that. Let's play that. Oh, by the way, new film sack up, everybody. You should listen to it. It's a good time.
Featuring this woman right here.
Yeah, this woman right here.
Hello. Hello.
That's Lois Lane.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, she's great. The Wretching Nun.
That was my favorite Sally Field TV show.
Oh, it was so good. Where's the priest and his thing? Here.
Oh. No,
no, that wasn't it. I can't find that. What a weird movie.
A bad clam.
A bad clam. All right. Speaking of bad clams, let's get Steven in here.
Yes, I'm pulling up his notes right now.
Add people to this call. Steven Schleicher. Yes. This is weird because the remote's a little choppy. There we go. Is Daryl there? Or is Steven there?
Yes.
Oh, he is here, dude.
He's just waiting for us to
quit
singing.
Oh, jeez. I suck. All right. Well, let's give him a... here's your theme.
Hoo-ah! Holy shit.
Okay, there he is. Hey, Steven.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up with you, man?
Oh, you know, this guy.
He is Steven Schleicher of Major Spoilers fame at majorspoilers.com and at Major Spoilers on Twitter. And he comes on the show on Mondays typically and talks about the nerdy things of life, which I really, really appreciate and like. So I'm glad you're here, Steven. Thanks for being here, man.
I'm glad to be here too, Scott Johnson.
Well, let's just dig right into what's going on. Always on video too. Check him out, everybody at home. Hubba, hubba. let's talk about The Flash.
Yeah, boy.
He's the, he's a bit ancillary in the DC universe in terms of overall notability. It's usually the Superman Batman show.
He's in your top seven.
Yeah.
He ushered in the Silver Age of comics.
Sure. But he's like, all right, well, here's the comparison. Well, he can't use Iron Man anymore because he's not what he used to be. But he used to be like that.
Yes.
But,
I would agree with you there.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, I don't know. He's your Hawkeye a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. He's no Nunchuck or whatever his name is that makes
Apache
Chief.
Yeah, Apache. He's no Apache Chief. Oh, Apache Chief. By the way, can I just ask, is Apache Chief an actual comic character that was brought into the Super Friends, or was he a Super Friends construct?
No, Super Friends character before he appeared in the comics.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That seems like a dumb idea in the 70s, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, but you can get an action figure of him, which is really cool.
Do they have any ongoing series now that feature him at all?
The closest was a Justice League Unlimited series where they had a spin-off group of superheroes that turned out to be clones, spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. But each one of them had one of the powers and one of the nationalities from the old Justice League cartoon show.
Okay. And they called him Apache Chief.
No, I forget what his name was in that. Somebody will shout it out in the chat room. Because
it is the most white guy cartoon fakery. You know, like, hey, how about we have an Indian character? What does he do? He gets real big. What are you going to call him? Apache Chief. Oh, that's so stupid. All right, moving on then. Let's get back to The Flash. So there's this Flash. Is it movie or TV we're getting?
It's a character currently on the CW's Arrow. That's the Green Arrow show. Mm-hmm. But they're spinning him off into his own TV series. It's already been greenlit for, think, a full season from Warner Brothers and the CW. Mm-hmm. And we finally get to see the character somewhat in costume, played by Grant Gustin, this week. I guess they released it on Friday. We don't get to see the full costume, but we do get to see him with the headpiece on. Yeah, like, and it looks pretty cool.
Like a helmety thing. I think it looks pretty good.
It looks all leather. And that's the problem. Well, I guess, 20 years ago, we would have said, these kids are all our age, but now it's just like...
That's how that works. Kids. The older we get, the younger they all get. That's just the way it is.
I'll stay the same.
Well, wasn't it somebody was saying how young some of the confirmed casts for the new Star Wars movie are? That's too young, or this and that. And I'm thinking, well, dude, Luke was 18. Leia was 19.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
do you for all forget they were basically kids in those movies? We just don't think of it that way. I mean, Harrison Ford was like 32.
Right. And after seeing Harrison Ford last night on the Oscars, do you want him in your 2015 Star Wars movie?
Yes. I want him to be. Listen, I have something to say about him.
That man belongs in a museum.
So he's been noted prominently as a guy who has major social anxiety when it comes to being in front of people and talking in front of people. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we are witnessing. I think he's a guy because being in front of a camera for a movie is not the same as standing up in front of thousands in a room and millions at home. There's a difference. And I think he is just, there's a reason why he lives mainly on a ranch in Wyoming away from everybody. I think he just does not like that part of it. So when you get him out there, like, he may have eaten that pizza that Ellen gave him. And I did like that he tugged her shirt to get a napkin. That was pretty funny.
Totally. Yes, that was awesome.
That was maybe my favorite part of the whole night.
It was really good.
I just don't think he's, I think he just hates it. And so that was coming across. Yeah. Plus he doesn't, you know, he's just not a guy that cares to smile much or laugh or have much of a good time.
No, he doesn't have any joy in his
life. No, but I hope he is in the new movie. They're all confirmed. So he's him, Luke, Leia, they're all in that thing, Brian. You're you're getting them whether you want them or not.
I know, I know. I just, and it's not really his delivery last night. It was just how old he looks. I don't know. I want my, you know, I want my Han like Solo 78? To be young and roguish.
Yeah.
Is he?
I think he's, I think that's how old he is. Let me look real quick.
70. Just an
old Harrison Siri, how old is Harrison Ford?
Harrison Siri.
Harrison Ford is 71 years old.
Yeah, that's about right. He, okay. You gotta admit though, his prime for me was Temple of Doom. He looked insanely cool in that movie.
Yeah, he did.
Buff he's in talks for like two more Indiana Jones movies.
What?
Right now.
Yeah. Let's have that talk not go on very long.
Hey, you know, as long as he's in talks and Shia LaBeouf is not in talks, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I've not heard anything about him. So.
And let Disney fix that franchise too.
They can probably just get anybody to put a paper sack on their head and run around and claim that they're Indiana Jones' son.
I think they do that. They do a reboot and they get Chris Pine in there. You're done. You're good.
No, you can't solve everything with Chris Pine.
That's my Chris Pine solution, and yes, you can.
Chris Pine solves.
You can fix anything with Chris Pine. Everything's better with Chris Pine.
Personal cleaning solution is Chris Pine's.
Yeah. I love the aroma. I love the after smell. All right. So The Flash. You go look for that. Majorspoilers.com has a link to the shot, and you can get excited about it if you're so inclined. The helmet reminds me of something kind of Captain America-ish from the Avengers.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That kind of leathery whatever. And the accent on the side is less of a thing that sticks out. Like it does in the comics that would break off so easy, and it's more sort of embedded.
I'm hoping this week or next we'll see the full costume. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to show it now because everyone's excited. I think the big question will be, will they make it look natural or will it be all puffed up like the Flash in the 1990s television series?
The chest implants and stuff. I'm sorry, but I'm looking at this costume right now and it does not look frictionless.
No, not at all. How about Minecraft and possibility of it being in talks with Warner Brothers to make a film, which seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, it kind of makes it's certainly not a blockhead idea.
No. But, look at you. Look, I see. You.
Is it going to be a blockbuster?
One thing about it, though, is I know we're all in the shadow of this incredible success of the Lego movie, right?
Right.
That makes it all seem much more plausible as a property. But I am telling you, and I've had arguments with somebody, I think it was Andrew Main, who you shouldn't trust, who was on Current Geek with us. And you should watch a show on A&E, though. It's really good. Mm-hmm. He had made the comment that he thought it would be big, but not that big. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he or others have the make of the landscape of the Minecraft effect. There are an entire generation of kids. I spent some time with a group of 7-year-olds this weekend, Kim and I. And they were all they want to talk about is Minecraft.
Yeah.
That's all kids want to talk about.
My son still gets on kicks where he's just like, Dad, I want to sit down and play Minecraft. And it's like, dude, you're 7. And he's been playing it for over a year and a half now. So
he
loves it.
Dude,
every time
we
go to the store, he wants to buy the swords or the helmet or the whatever the heads or whatever that they have. So
it's crazy.
He's into it big time. So, you know, if they can do something in the same vein of as the Lego movie for Minecraft, I think it'll be a big hit.
You've got the built-in thing. I know it seems small and thin, but you could build on it. The Lego thing certainly did. But Steve is the main kind of character model dude in the game, which is just this, you know, autonomous non-speaking thing. But you've got your guy. There's your protagonist. Mm-hmm. You got your world. You got all your weird creatures. You got all kinds of stuff you could do. I think it is not only a brilliant idea, but Mojang is going to make so much money off that license. It's just ridiculous. Dude, Marcus Presson sitting in his basement making a thing in Sweden. What the hell? It's amazing. That whole story is amazing to me. Just incredible.
It can happen to anybody.
It really can. Just maybe it could be you. If you're McConaughey, you want his God, because whatever that God is going to help you make it work. All right, let's talk about the last and latest, not last, but maybe the last, who knows, the latest Godzilla trailer.
Yeah.
You got a lot of Walter White in this one.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was even in it until I saw the trailer.
I didn't either. Huh.
He's
got hair.
Yeah, a bunch of hair. He looks more like his Seinfeld character than he does.
Or his Malcolm in the Middle character.
A little bit. Yeah, a little more like the dad. He's got a bunch of hair and he's screaming a lot. But it looks like a movie I'm totally stoked about. I'm really excited to see it.
Does Godzilla come out and say, I am the one who knocks things
over? Yeah, exactly. And then goes,
oh, sorry. We were watching a Godzilla movie the other day, and it's just like, you know, I don't think Godzilla means to destroy stuff. He's just big and clumsy.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, you can watch every time he bumps into something, he's like, oh, excuse me, excuse me, coming through. Pardon me.
Pardon me, yeah. I have a thing here called Godzilla. I don't know what this is. Hold on. Let's see what this is. Is this a song? Oh, it's the theme from that bad one that the that came out.
Hank Azaria and
the Matthew Broderick one. Yeah, it looks good. When's this out? When's it due? And what are your thoughts on the trailer?
Comes out. The trailer looks kind of good. There's a there's a kind of a mix between Cloverfield, which you know Cloverfield should have been a Godzilla movie,
mm-hmm.
and what's that Battle LA or whatever that movie was? Oh, Attack LA. That kind of first person shooter army thing. It looks like a mashup between those things.
The Battlefield LA or whatever it was.
Battle for LA or
Battle LA
it?
Or something.
Yeah. It was a crappy movie, but if you sit down and watch it, it's actually not bad.
It wasn't bad, yeah.
That's the Aaron Eckhart deal, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. I was trying to remember who the big star in that thing.
He's Harvey Dent. Anyway.
Yep. Godzilla comes out May 2014, so we've only got a few more months.
I can't help it, dude. I can't help it. I saw Olympus Has Fallen. I talked about it on Film Sacks. You can get your fill over there, but yeah, he's Harvey Dent. There's Harvey Dent shooting aliens. So I think it's great. I think it's cool that we're getting a modern era Godzilla movie. I think it's cool that they seem to be going the route that we want them to go. Mm-hmm. With it being kind of scary and stuff. But how are you on the fundamental question of Godzilla protects people? They just don't know he's good yet. He's going to fight Mothra one day and save the city. Like this idea that he's not just a monster that's out to kill humans. Is that ever going to be a part of the deal again?
That's what I think. I don't think Godzilla is ever out to kill people. I think he's just people are in the way. It's kind of like us walking down the street and there's a bunch of ants. We could care less about the ants, but, you know, a giant moth comes and hits us. We're going to smack it around. And if the ants are safe, then, you know, good for the ants.
I do like that there is that whole – the trailer hints at a sub-story with Ken Watanabe or whatever his name is. Wannabe.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Watanabe, yeah.
Is it Watanabe?
I think it's Watanabe.
That can't be right.
Watanabe, yeah.
Hi, my name's Ken Watanabe, and I'm from Japan.
Kirk Wasabi.
I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Kirk Wasabi. You know what? Someone on Twitter this morning called me out and said, I'm just going to read this real quick. It says, should Scott Johnson really be making fun of anyone, even John Travolta, who mispronounces words? And you know what? And this is what I wrote back to him. I said back to him, hold on. Crap. I can't find it now. Dang it, Scott. Okay, there it is. I said, absolutely agree. It's completely hypocritical of me in every possible way. And it's true. I mispronounce words all the time. But it's still fun to hear him get up and completely blow that line. Anyway, point is, what's the point? Oh, and by the way, I do make fun of myself. So it's not like I'm above the law
here. I really like that Japanese actor, Ken Downton Abbey.
Ken Downton Abbey. So anyway, what was my point? Oh, the sub-story about them making up that the monster came from nuke tests in Japan. Mm-hmm. But then having it turn on itself and say, no, those tests were to destroy this creature. That they're bringing Japan into it at all is super cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how this should be, man. This is the origin of this thing. You need to bring that in here. It doesn't need to be mm-hmm. a bunch of white dudes running around the city. I want to get some diversity in my Godzilla movie. You know? That's kind of offensive, isn't it? Godzilla. all right. So anyway, we're looking forward to that. Steven, anything else on the horizon? Anything that you're excited about? Anything you're doing that you want people to know about?
Oh, we brought back the Want List this week. So people can go check that out. Video series that takes a look in just a couple of minutes of some of the coolest toys and gizmos that are out there. So people can go and check that out over at majorspoilers.com. Really cool. And if people didn't check it out this weekend, Critical Hit was a big success.
Mm.
And we've got a free song that people can download. One of our listeners sent it in, and they can go get that at members.majorspoilers.com. So a little bit of a freebie there for everybody this week.
That's awesome. Yep. Always good stuff going on over there. Follow Steven at Major Spoilers on Twitter. That's a great place to follow him. You might just crash it, and we'll make some history.
That'd be awesome, too.
That would be great,
wouldn't
it?
Ellen.
Yeah, take that, Ellen.
Meryl Streep.
DeGeneres. She looks great for her age. I just want to say that about Ellen.
She does,
real quick.
Yes. I like you. She's funny.
I've given her a lot of heat, but that's how I feel. That's awesome. We'll see you later, man. Thanks. Have a great week.
See you, Steven.
Bye now. Okay. Hey, this remote desktop's working out nice.
Nice. Good.
Didn't have to go over there. And Jeannie doesn't like it. She likes it when I have to turn from the screen to do things.
Really?
Yeah. She likes that. I don't know why.
I step away from the mic to add Daryl.
I think Wednesday, Kim and Sarah will come on and report on how Fat Tuesday went with all the food and the whatnot.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, we made jambalaya last night with Kim's recipe, it is fantastic.
Oh, you have leftovers, though? Do you?
Oh, lots of leftovers, yeah. We made a amount of jambalaya that would serve 12, and we served six with it.
That was the wise thing to do.
So,
half of it.
Yeah, so my lunch today is going to be some more. And
that sounds really good.
The rice just soaks up that. Oh, it's going to be awesome.
That's the plan tomorrow. There'll be a ton of that at my house, so I'm really excited about it. And they'll come on and talk about that a bit on Wednesday. We do have emails, though, and they're brought to you by...
Emails are brought to you by get your subscription to Retro Gaming Magazine now at tiny.cc/retrosub, featuring comics from Scott Johnson.
What? That's true, actually.
I'm not kidding. I'm serious.
Their second issue features the rebirth of the Experience Points comic with Steve and Vince. Steve the Duck. He's right back here.
Cool.
Where is he? Right over there. Can you see it?
Sort of. Yeah.
Here you go. Hello. Josh wrote in and says, hello, gentlemen. I just want to make it quick and easy and ask you another what would you rather do question. I got a kick out of the responses from the last one I sent. I wanted to which was the poo and the pudding question. So here it is. Remember that one? I do. Gross.
Yes.
What would you rather have tattooed on your forehead, Brian, a horse with a boner or Al-Qaeda?
Oh, geez.
And there's no neither response to this question. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great show.
Why is it me?
Well, it's both of us. I'll answer it, too.
I guess you get to answer it, too, but yeah. You pointed at me.
I did point at you. Well, horse boner, and it seemed natural to go to you.
So when they say a horse with a boner or Al-Qaeda, what is the Al-Qaeda tattoo look like?
It says Al-Qaeda on it. It just says
those letters, Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, like you are the property of Al-Qaeda. Meaning you might be involved with them. So you can't go over any border crossings. You can't go on an airplane without somebody going, oh, and especially you with your forehead. You know, you don't
have
to hear that.
Yeah, I'd be switching to wearing a lot of hats.
Sure.
They're horrible choices. They I guess bad. I'd get the horse tattoo.
I would. Okay. My answer is the same. Horse tattoo, but I am never taking a hat off.
Yeah.
I'll wear a hat my whole life. So he didn't say anything about no hats. So I think we've ruined Josh's question by having a hat on.
Could I get somebody else's face put on the horse?
Yes. There's no rules about that.
Good.
Who would it be? Okay. Whose face would you put?
Well, first thought was Sarah Jessica Parker, but I think that's just too obvious. I think it needs to be Dan Cortese or...
Wait, who's that?
It's the guy from MTV who had a really, really long face.
Oh. Oh! Yeah,
Why the long face, Dan Cortese?
Yeah, that's right. I thought it was Dan Cortez.
Is that how it's pronounced?
I thought it was.
Dan Cortez? It might be.
In my head, it's ringing correctly.
The last E is silent.
I can't remember.
Who knows?
All right. Thanks, Josh. Bradley wrote in and says, I love your show. I listen to everything you put on the air in the Ultra Feed. I have enjoyed your show from the beginning. I have just contributed to the Patreon page. I work at a hospital, and I see death and sadness every day. Cancer, surgeries that involve massive invasions of the patient. I envy what you have going on for you. I just had to send this. I have watched people die and recover on your podcast. I have lived every day with deep depression, but your show cheers me up. I have watched body after body go to the morgue. I'm sure I have lost my mind, or I would have lost my mind if it wasn't for your podcast. Typing this has brought tears to my eyes. I don't know you, but you helped me get through the day with death everywhere. You make me laugh. Much love, Bradley. Jeez, man.
Oh, man.
A rough
well, thank
day.
You, Bradley, for your support and I'm glad we could be there for you, and I hope today's morgue story...
yeah, I hope that didn't hurt. Well, maybe that's a good one because he was alive in there. I don't know.
That's right. Yes, a happy ending for that one.
I couldn't work at the hospital. I just don't know how people do it.
No,
So here's to you, Bradley, who clearly have the guts to do it because we need somebody to do it, and I can't do it. I can't work at a hospital. It would kill me.
Yeah.
People that work up at like the children's center up the primary... I don't know how they do it.
Like a children's hospital,
it'd kill me.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. Kids dying, getting cancer, suffering. Couldn't do it. Loyal Patreoniac. Very nice. Russell wrote in.
You just say patron, people.
Yeah. Russell said, hello, steady shot and backstab. Yeah, see, a couple of WoW references
well
there.
Done, well done.
I'm a day or so behind, so disregard if you've covered this already. I found out the basis for the Arizona bill that's been in the news lately, and wonder if you guys, or what you guys think. So this Arizona thing has come up a bunch. And by the way, a ton of emails, not a ton, let's say four emails, have come in taking real issue with my stance on the issue.
Really?
Yeah, that either I've got it wrong or what's so wrong about a lot of them kind of have the sentiment of what's so wrong about people wanting to discriminate based on their religious beliefs. And I say, well, because it's discrimination. It doesn't matter what you call or how you paint it. But this does add some clarity. The bill came about because a photographer refused to take pictures of a lesbian couple's wedding due to personal beliefs. The couple sued the photographer, and the judge sided with the couple. The bill was intended to defend a person's right to refuse service for artistic-based services. Of course, Arizona went all nuts with it. I'm in no way defending discrimination of anyone for any reason except for trolls. Sorry, I didn't have a link, but I'm sure you guys can find it. Love the show, though. So I did a little looking around, and he's right. A lot of the stuff is mostly about – it isn't that – you know, just some guy at Denny's can't just kick somebody out because they're gay. That's not the point. The point is, if you want to have a reception at a reception center and it's owned by a guy who's has religious beliefs that he believes, you know, the whole gay thing is completely wrong and he can't deal with it, he should be able to refuse service based on that.
Right. Reserve the right to refuse service to anyone.
Here's what I think about this.
Yes.
I think it is on these individuals as business owners and otherwise to do right in this world and do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Now, they may think the right thing is this other thing, but I think they probably know in their heart of heart that the right thing to do is not to be a dick. But moreover than that, I'm part of this I side with them on, which is the government shouldn't be able to come in and say, you can refuse service to that kid with no shoes, no shirt on, but you can't do it because you don't like the two gay people coming in. That may make you a bigot, but it's still your business and you probably can do whatever you want. Now, I think you're wrong to do that.
Exactly.
I do, but I also think it's a slippery slope. There's a fine line. Government can't just come in and go, all right, Brian, you run a podcast empire here, and we found out that you don't want to hire ex-murderers. I'm not comparing gay people to ex-murderers, all right? It's not the point here.
What?
But I guess when people are defending their decision based on pure religion stuff, I'm then having an argument with you personally, not with your business, not with your choice to sell to who or who you don't want to sell to. That's right. That to me is a separate issue. It's when that you are straight up being discriminatory against anybody for any reason. I'm just saying you ought to personally look at that and make a better decision about it, not all this other hoopla and hoodah. So one guy sent me this email at all these reasons why it should be fine for people to discriminate personally or professionally against anybody because of their sexual orientation. And I said, swap out all the times you use the word gay or gays with black or blacks. And now how does your paragraph sound now?
Exactly.
Yeah. And boy, oh boy, did that sound like a big racist email if you swap those words out. Sure. So my point is, and that's a bit of a dirty trick because, you know, I realize this isn't exactly the same. I realize there's precedents on their side. They've got long held beliefs, centuries of beliefs in some cases. But I could also point to numerous churches in the 60s who banned black people from their thing on scriptural and religious basis. I just think it gets down to who you are as a person. Forget about what other people think. Forget about what your other parishioners think. It's not their damn business. It's down to you and what good are you doing in the world. That's all I would say about this.
Well, and there's another aspect to this that if you're a gay couple and you find out that your photographer that you want to hire doesn't approve of your lifestyle, you wouldn't want them doing your photographs anyway, whether you get the court to make them do it or sue them or whatever. I would think that, you know, there was a similar situation down here in Littleton in Colorado.
Yeah, wasn't there it was a big deal.
Cake. It was a bakery that refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple.
Yeah.
And a similar situation where the couple sued and won. I would think, and you know, I don't agree with that. I think it's a jerk move to refuse to serve somebody based on their choice of lifestyle.
Right.
But as soon as the couple found out that this person had a problem with the gay lifestyle, that would be my sign to say, you know what? Screw you. We're not going to give you any business anyway, because you would probably if we got the courts to force you to make our cake, who knows what you would do to it. And why support you when you don't support us? So we're going to go somewhere else.
Right. And I just, it's funny because I'm torn on this one bit of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should be forced to make their cake. Right. If they don't want to make their cake, they shouldn't make their cake. And the couple should go, well, you guys are jerks, and go somewhere else, because there'll be somebody else who will. Now, that's what I think on the business store level. What I think on the individual level is, hey, guy making the cake, Are you afraid you're going to be gay from making the cake? Like, what's the problem? Make the cake. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. Should you be sued and lose because you didn't make the cake? No, I don't think you should. I think that's bad. That's a bad precedent because you could do it for anything. I don't like to shower, and this wedding place wouldn't let me try on dresses. Sue them.
Right.
You're not going to win that lawsuit. Right. So I get that. I have sympathy for that side of it. I am really just boiling this down. Forget about decorum, social norms, what other people think, and precedences. Just get down to who are you and what are you worried about? What is the big deal? You don't agree with their lifestyle, but you can't make them a cake? What did that do if you made it? Did God come to you after you made the cake and go, you made them a cake. My wrath has been awakened.
Now you're going to hell.
Yeah, right. Or whatever. And this isn't, you're not condoning a lifestyle. You're making a cake. Now, did that involve putting two ladies on top? I don't know. Or two dudes? Was that just too much for you? I don't know. I just think that on a personal level, you got to get over it. On a professional level, you shouldn't have been sued and lost. So I'm in both minds. Once again, I guess it's my live and let live thing coming out.
It is kind of a both lose situation.
And I get it.
The first loser is easily the baker. I mean, it's hard to say that the gay couple loses because they sued, but it's, go somewhere else. Give them your business. And you know what? The bad publicity, bring it on. Give this guy some bad publicity for turning you guys away. And that's probably just as bad as any lawsuit is going
to
be.
I have one more complaint that's related to this, too, and you just reminded me of it. I have to get it out of my system. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
This morning I read a headline that says, 2014 Oscars, the most diverse in the history of the thing. And I read it, and it's like, it's kind of cool. The president of the Academy is an African-American lady.
Woman. Yeah. Did you see their new space house?
No. Oh, right. Space house? Yeah, the museum thing they're doing or whatever it is.
That's cool. It seemed really cool looking.
Yeah, I'd want to go to that, actually. They got the money. Just get going. 2017, though. What's taking you so long? Jeez. Anyway, so she's great. And then the winners of the best picture, Steve McQueen, an African-American. It was not even American, but, a dude from African ascent. Descent. What's the word? Descent?
Descent.
Descent. Yes. Not ascent. Ascent's going up. Descent is coming back. Anyway, the point is, that's great.
His family will be from Africa.
Best supporting actress. She won. I remember when Halle Berry and Denzel Washington won. It was a big deal then, too. All this stuff is great. Right. I've got no problem with any of it. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Great. Good job, everybody. Your talent won everything. Good freaking job. But here's my complaint. When I'm over it, I've been over it for a long time. When a black person wins something, I don't go, oh, finally, the white. You've won, finally, the equity is here. We need to get to a point where it's just because they're awesome.
Exactly.
And this article says, the headline is, it's the most diverse. And I said, well, the minute we quit bringing that up is the minute things start getting better.
Exactly.
I think.
It becomes mainstream. As soon as we stop saying, we had four black winners last night.
You don't have to point it out. I don't think you have to point it out, because pointing it out just irritates some. Puffs up others and makes me in the middle going, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. It's great that they won. One of my favorite actors in the world is Denzel Washington. You don't have to remind me that he's black or that it's a great triumph or any of those things. I kind of know it intrinsically. It's good. I'm great. It's great.
Yes.
So quit doing that too. Okay? Everyone just relax. You don't have to point it out. We know, and it's great. We don't need to be told. That's right. We live in a nation with a racist history. That's right. Now, I know there are plenty of people with still that racist thing, right? I got it. I'm related to some of them down in the South on my side. There are some bigots living right within my midst. I get it. And I know they need, all the nudging they can get. But the Oscars ain't going to do it for them. It's just not. Finding out that a bunch of awards were won by folks who are black or Hispanic or anything else.
Yes.
Is not going to change Uncle Dave living in his shack. He doesn't even watch the Oscars. So it's whatever. I realize it's more complicated than that, and I'm not trying to be absolutist here, but I'm just pointing out a couple of ideas. All right, that's it. I'm sure the emails will flow, and that's wonderful. Keep those coming. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. That's it. We're done. Tomorrow, we'll have another show. It'll be Bill Duran. It'll be Jury. Jury's home. He's done traveling, so we'll have
him
on.
Flying and travel. Well, we won't have him tomorrow because, well, unless, are you doing a show tomorrow with
him?
Oh,
wait.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I take that back. I will be here tomorrow. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. You won't be here.
Yes,
so
I'll be flying on Wednesday.
And I still haven't decided what I'm doing Wednesday.
So maybe have the Geek Food Girls co-host with you.
Oh, Lord. I don't know how that would go. I think I would be, I would say too many things to piss them off. I don't know. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll let you guys know. But tomorrow for sure we'll be back. But you'll be in Florida.
I'll be in Florida. So I don't know. Hopefully bandwidth is. Video and stuff out. Yeah. Hopefully he's got some good
Even if it's just audio, it's fine. We'll make it work.
Exactly.
Well, good. Well, I'm excited about that.
Figure out what I'm going to take as far as a microphone. I'll figure that out too.
Plug something in.
Yep. Oh, I'm sure that Andrew has a microphone.
He's probably got
the music equipment there.
That's
yeah.
true. He probably could hook you up. If not, even your phone and a headset or whatever. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So watch for that. In the meantime, thank you everybody for being here. AlphaGeekRadio.com does our shoutcast stream. We love them for it. Big thanks to that. Todd over there doing great work. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, we're @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, and @Coverville. And that's it. Let's go.
That's it.
Got a song? What are we doing?
I do. So we mentioned earlier that it is Mardi Gras week. Tomorrow will be Fat Tuesday, and I hope I'm going somewhere in Florida for King Cake. By the way, folks, I know a lot of people have been emailing and saying, hey, where are you going to be in Florida? Can we do a meetup or something like that? It is a whirlwind trip down there. I'm flying late tonight. I'm there all day tomorrow to do the Kickstarter video, and then I fly back first thing Wednesday morning. So I don't know what kind of time we have, but who knows? You know, if we can do some sort of haphazard, spontaneous thing for dinner, then we'll figure it out. But I don't want to put that burden on Andrew and Brooke and say, yeah, we're going to do a big meetup. It'll be a block from their house. And
yeah, you guys ready for this?
Get as many people together as we can.
Woohoo.
So just keep an eye on Twitter, and I'll if we are doing something, then I'll get everybody together for it. All right. Let's talk about Fat Tuesday, and of course the music that you usually hear that goes along with Fat Tuesday is Zydeco, which is your accordions, your washboards, your drums, your kettle drums, things like that. Let's play a song that fits that description and will get you in the mood for your Fat Tuesday, for your gumbo, your jambalaya, your whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is the band Zydecosis from their album Zydeco All Night from 2008 with a very different cover of Black Sabbath's Paranoid.
Fantastic. Here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
People think I'm insane because I am frowning all the time. Yeah, all day long I think of things, but nothing seems to satisfy. I think I'll lose my mind if I don't find something to pacify. Can you help me? Occupy my brain. That I cannot find. I can't see the things that make true evidence. I must be blind. To me, it's so unreal. So as you hear these words telling you now, oh my.
my state. I tell you to enjoy life. I wish I could, but it's too late.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
It even comes with a matching fork to make carving a pleasure.